You're listening to Soundside. I'm KUOW arts and culture reporter Mike Davis. There's a lot of different elements that build a city's artistic identity. There are museums, theaters, concert halls, and galleries. There's also the art that covers our streets, free for everyone to see, like murals and sculptures on the street, art installations in parks, and spray paintings on bridges, buildings, and underpasses. But what's the difference between the mural we see outside of a light rail station and the graffiti that's across the street? What is public art, and what's a nuisance? It's a question Seattle Mayor Bruce Harrell and the city are wrestling with through a new initiative. Earlier this month, Mayor Harrell announced a plan to partner city departments with communities across Seattle to combat unwanted graffiti on public and private property in the city and to create new murals instead. Much of the program, which is called the Many Hands Arts Initiative, is still waiting on approval from City Council. But the city's Office of Arts and Culture has already begun work in one key area of the initiative, creating new opportunities for street artists through the Spatial Justice Through Street Art Grant.
Well, you know, this new initiative, this Many Hands Art Initiative, is really the umbrella. Graffiti is one side of the coin and street art is the other kind. And we can bank that for social cohesion. We can bank that, you know, to say we are gathering, we are putting value, not simply monetary value, but we're putting generational value and artistic value to these voices. So buffing, burning, new creation, right? It's that kind of like three-legged stool. So that's the really big piece about this initiative, is that it's an opportunity for new voices. It's an opportunity for our communities to come together. It's an opportunity for all of us to have an ongoing solution of street art to this negative behavior of graffiti, whether it's violent or non-permission based.
That was acting director of the Office of Arts and Culture, Royal Ali Barnes. She says she supports the artistic value of street art and hopes to use this new funding program to create new opportunities for these artists to engage with the city, collaborate with their peers, and create art that can be protected and maintained by city officials. I asked Director Ali Barnes how her office will measure success in this new program.
We're going to measure success based on the applications and the proposals that come in, the level of creativity, the level of connectiveness, the level of community cohesion, the generational and intergenerational aspects of it, you know, looking at what is actually going to make a difference in that community, what's going to change how we see where we are, what's going to look like spatial justice, if you will. How are these new voices going to be iterated? So we're going to measure success based on those kinds of attributes of social cohesion through the arts.
While the city plans to engage with street artists to create opportunities for the creation of murals and graffiti, a few lingering questions must be addressed. Can city commissioned art be considered graffiti? Would taggers even be interested in partnering with the city government? To get some answers to these questions, I reached out to a local artist. Paul Nunn is a visual artist who also works for Urban Artworks, a local organization that teaches youth how to create different forms of public art, including murals.
The grant program was specifically written for organizations, so individuals can't even really engage in it. And there's no legitimately recognized organization of people practicing graffiti. I think that when it starts to be an ethically tricky line, when murals and street art that were developed by the techniques and whatnot were developed by graffiti artists are then co-opted to erase that same kind of voice that was out there, starts to feel like ethically tricky.
Paul's point is an important one. If the city is funding their own artist, is there a risk that current graffiti will be erased by newly commissioned murals? Director Ali Barnes explained the specific type of graffiti the city is targeting for cleanup. She gave me an example of a mural in the Central District right on the corner of Cherry and MLK.
You know, and I'm going to point to the Martin Luther King mural because I think most people are familiar with that. I think it was like 1995, 26 years, you know, that efficacy of that face and what that meant to races and cultures across not just the city, but the United States. And the graffiti that was on there was violent, misogynist, racist graffiti. This is what the mayor is talking about. That is not art. I don't care if it's if the calligraphy is amazing, right? I don't care if it's done with kinds of symbols that we would see on a t-shirt and say, hey, that's pretty deaf. No, once it gets into all of those negative racist activities, once it gets into disrespect, and once it gets into violent, you know, premonition of violent behavior and violent statements, not acceptable.
The city says that they are targeting hate speech and racist language for cleanup, but there have been examples where respected graffiti artists have had their work erased.
There was the sneak mural at 12th and Jackson that the mayor went on the news and made a point of being on the news, painting over this mural that, from what I had heard, had been slightly defaced, but I'd also don't know what efforts anybody made to connect with the artist and help fund a repair. I mean, it was a huge production piece by some well-established longtime OGs in the Seattle graffiti community. And yeah, they buffed the whole thing.
Both Director Ali Barnes and Mayor Harrell have both acknowledged that some of the graffiti in our city can be cool, beautiful, and even culturally relevant. However, Mayor Harrell stands hard on the fact that any unwanted graffiti on private property will be removed. I had the chance to speak with our mayor about this new initiative and hear all the details on how the city plans to move forward through partnerships with city departments, neighbors, and artists. The first thing I want to ask, at the press conference, you mentioned a bunch of city departments that are going to be a part of the Many Hands Art Initiative. Can you speak to which departments are going to be a part of this and a little bit about their roles?
So primarily, from a programmatic standpoint, our Department of Arts and Culture under the interim director, Royal Ali Barnes, will lead the arts piece of it. However, other departments such as SDOT and SPU and other departments that are aware of potential canvases, if you will, and murals, will help coordinate locations and even work with community members to feed information into our arts department.
Yes. Now, the plan also involves community members. And you mentioned that you're going to roll out 1,000 graffiti cleanup kits. Can you talk about the One Seattle plan and how important it is to bring community members into the fold in partnership with the city when you're trying to push for this initiative?
When people started hearing me this year talk about the issue of graffiti, it was brought to my attention and to some of my executive team's attention that there are some heroes already out there. Many of them, I'd say dozens of them in their different areas doing this work. And one person in mine had said, I want to meet with the mayor and whoever would meet with me. I met him in our office with a few teammates here, and he literally brought in a kit, and he had a sort of what we'll consider a best practices kit. He had what he used to remove tougher areas. And he talked about the process by which he does it. And he was a lawyer by profession. Go figure that. He had a day job, but this is just something he felt passionate about. So we took it upon ourselves to replicate that and do our little independent research. And we said, let's distribute these kits to people who want to help in. But we are very cognizant that this is not their responsibility. It's ours. But I want to take advantage of these good people that want to join the cause. And so we're going around talking to neighborhoods and activist community types of people that, you know, are so engaged to help out with the issue.
Right. Now, you spoke about the type of graffiti that you're targeting. Can you reiterate that and let us know, like, when you're, because you also mentioned graffiti you saw that you thought was beautiful. So what is the difference between the art that we see that we want here and that we're going to highlight through the Office of Arts and Culture versus the type of graffiti that we're trying to get rid of?
You know, for me, it sort of boils down to either consent or what's wanted or unwanted for a property owner. First of all, there's a baseline, right? Hate crimes, racialized graffiti, things like that is graffiti. And we want to not have that, period. Okay, that's, for me, that's non-negotiable. I've seen areas around the freeway on certain buildings that I thought could be pretty cool. And I said, well, this person took the time to do it a little more decorative, and what they've said wasn't necessarily hateful, but it seemed like they could have rushed it. And so I was thinking, well, would this store owner, would they mind if someone took their time and did something maybe more artistic or more with the consent of the store owner, right? So now we're talking about art. So, you know, I'm not going to mince words that if a property owner comes out and they do not want something painted on their property, that's graffiti. I mean, quite frankly, it's as simple as that. I don't think anyone has the right to paint another person's property without their consent. But I think that, again, we have some opportunities here to find out who's doing what, why they're doing it. And this is why the Many Hands Art Initiative, I'm hoping to pull out the best in these artists. I don't know who these artists are, right? But I have to think that perhaps in their own unique way, perhaps they think they're doing something good. I don't know. But I want to know the community, because at this point, I want our city to be prideful of how they look and how it feels.
What I'm hearing and what you're saying, or that what jumps out to me is partnership. I feel like, you know, you went from people in the community that are already trying to clean their community, then you jump to the artists who are making art who you can observe like, wow, that's some cool art, to property owners who may or may not want it. And it sounds like you're trying to tie all of these pieces together. How important is the idea of partnership in making sure that we all work together towards this goal?
The partnership is critical, Mike, toward what we're trying to do. And I'll tell you what, maybe a funny story is that when you come from a home of limited means, as I did in the Central District, your parents or your grandparents might have had a couch or a chair that was very, very special. Might have been modest in price. It was very special. They had put plastic over it or something over it. They had protected. And maybe you, as you get older, you go to a very affluent house and you see a piece of furniture that might be of high value. Well, the point is, whether it's of low value or high value, it may mean a lot to the person who bought it. And so this need to improve graffiti, I want to treat all areas of our town so they are precious, whether it's one of the more underrepresented or lower income areas or a higher income wealthy area. They all deserve, all of these areas deserve to be treated like that old couch. They have to be respected. And I think all of us in this city have a responsibility, hopefully, to see it that way or believe that everyone that has some property, whether they are renting it or owning it, or leasing it, that they have a desire to keep it in the best condition they can. And let's do this together.
I love that. I love that. And I relate to that because I know what would happen if I messed up grandma's couch as a kid. So I got to ask on the back end. At the press conference, you also talked about enforcement and you mentioned that, you know, this isn't a violent crime, but this is something that we don't want. Can you talk about your plan to work with the city attorney and SPD and what enforcement will look like in acknowledgement that they're not hurting anybody?
You know, one way I try to change the culture, police department, quite frankly, just on human relationships, talking to the rank and file, talking to command staff and mid-management and saying what enforcement looks like through the mayor's eyes. And in this situation with graffiti, let me be clear. Many of them are destroying property. I can't mince words. But as I said, they're not hurting anyone physically. And I do not want to see violent arrests. I want to see de-escalation in these conversations. I want everyone to be treated as one would in a human rights city. And I need my officers to know that any other approach is unacceptable. So hopefully, as we talk about enforcement, we talk about it through a lens of, if you were, let's say, 26 years old or 23 years old and you're doing this, or you are a parent of that child and this is what they chose to do, how would you want this person, realizing they're breaking law, how would you want them to be treated? So I'm asking my officers to look at it through that lens and only through that lens.
So once this initiative kicks off, once everything is in full effect, the Office of Arts and Culture does their RFP, what will we see? How will our city look different? What changes do you expect to see from this? And how will you measure success of this initiative?
What I hope to see is, particularly when spring arrives, is you will see areas that are, number one, clean. That's the abatement piece of it. You'll see areas perhaps that are blank now that may have beautiful art on there. You may see business owners that have just had historical graffiti having art that they like. you'll see young artists through our Hope Core Many Hands Art Initiative and the RFPs we have. You see young artists realizing that we value that Seattle is a place where we welcome young talent. I say young. Let me not just prefer the young people all the time. You'll see artists realize that we respect what they do and we're giving them an opportunity to express themselves. So I think at our recreation centers, you'll see forums and classes taught. You'll see many neighborhoods being able to do the abatement when they need it. And the narrative in the city is that we take pride in our city.
That is Mayor Bruce Harrell. Thank you so much for giving me this time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to Soundside. Don't forget you can listen live on KUOW 94.9 FM in Seattle at noon and 8 p.m. every Monday through Thursday, or anytime online at KUOW.org or on your favorite podcast app.